Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
We give away this placard of Brett Favre, this team wins it without a trivia name. And I was like, oh, okay, what are they going to do? So I'm reading through the trivia names, and the winner of the best trivia name that made Vinny and I laugh the most was, this was better than the last picture we got of Brett Favre. Hey, I tell you. Okay, hey. So that one worked
out. Do not Google that.
That one worked out.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad.
Along with Michelle Richards, Vince is back Monday. Vince taking a couple of days, and I promise it has nothing to do with that amazing night of trivia that you guys had in Wauwatosa on Wednesday. It has nothing to do with that. I didn't get the quote-unquote Tosa flu. That's why he's not working today, because of the trivia. We'll get into the what happened Wednesday night at Cafe Hollander with the crew here coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, Michelle, have you ever, you've moved a couple of times, at least once I know.
Yes.
When you got your house and moved into the neighborhood, did you do the scan? Did you check the sex offender location website just to see?
I did.
Yeah,
I have kids.
Yeah.
So definitely.
Just part of the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think most new homeowners will do that just to check in, just to see. And I would like to think that most convicted sex offenders just want to go on about the rest of their life. But we have this unique situation in New Berlin. We've heard these stories before where in a community, in a neighborhood, there's no place to put the sex offender, right? Because of all the ordinances that are in place. All the requirements, the guidelines, you have to be so many feet from a school, so many feet from a park. We've heard this before, where a guy can't go to a certain place because they just don't have a spot for him. Plus, no one wants them to move there anyway. This New Berlin situation is very unique. The guy's name is Nicholas Weaver. He's going to be released next week. He spent more than a year behind bars. Prosecutors say he sexually assaulted a 14-year-old girl at Weatherstone Park, and that's in New Berlin. So here's what makes this so different than your standard sex offender release placement story. He's going back to the home where he lived with his family, his mom and dad. That home is within 500 feet of Weatherstone Park, where the assault took place. It's also within 500 feet of a park where it's a child safety zone. A sex offender is not supposed to live.
Right. It's city ordinance.
Here's the thing. He's still going to be placed in this home. The question is, well, why would that happen? Why? How? We have the city ordinance. Why can he go back to this home? Shouldn't he be required to go someplace else? Well, apparently, I know people who were at the hearing that was held in New Berlin about this last night. Lots of neighbors up in arms, frustrated by this. They felt like they didn't get a lot of notice, first of all. And second of all, they don't think that this guy should be living there, especially because it's within the guidelines right next to this park. Plus, they all have kids and just obviously are worried about the well-being of the neighborhood. So they're all in there asking questions, demanding answers on this. And the city essentially told him, well, he's grandfathered in because he lived in that house before the ordinance was ever put in place. So the city says, well, he lived in this home within 500 feet of this park. He's lived there for years. Then the ordinance was enacted, and now he's being released and being sent back to that home. And because of that, there's a loophole there. He's grandfathered in. That means, oh, no, well, the guidelines can't have guidelines for this guy because he already lived at the location before the ordinance was put into place. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what happens now? We did reach out to New Berlin, try to get the some of the aldermen on the phone, tried to get the mayor on the phone. No one's talking at the moment. I think this is one of those ones where they're trying to figure out what to do. One of my sources who was at the hearing last night, they told me that, well, you know, they think the city's just worried about some kind of legal issue. You know, what if he try to move the guy out, could they face a lawsuit? Could this be a Supreme Court issue? And that's why, well, it is the way it is because of this loophole, and there's really nothing you can do about it. Heard this case before, something similar to this. But as, you know, obviously we, you and I, both parents of children that are of that age where they go out and do different things, sometimes by themselves even, mm-hmm. ride a bike someplace. Now you have this. What do you do? What do you do if you're that city and you have this guy who's going to be placed back in that neighborhood next week?
And what are these parents going to do? They're going to be, you know, watching their kids like hawks.
Right.
I hope that girl doesn't live in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a great point. And constitutionally, what can the city do? Don't get me wrong. It's a, you know, the guy's got rights, you know, just like any other convict or any other sex offender, that everyone has rights.
Right. You can't just ship them off somewhere.
Yeah, just not. Yeah. And that's where, you know, the city has to play by those rules, obviously. But clearly that's something that is really bothering some folks in New Berlin. My guess is that if you haven't heard about this yet, you're going to. It's going to be a story that's going to pop up again, because there's going to be some folks demanding more being done. There's going to be some folks that are going to be asking for changes. And then, of course, he's going to be released next week. So when Nicholas Weaver is out, where is he going to go? Right now, it appears it'll be in this home where his parents live, near Weatherstone Park, which is within the 500 feet zone of where he's supposed to be.
And we should point out, he's going to be wearing a tracking device,
yes.
Right?
Thank you for, yes.
He will be monitored.
Yeah, and police, I'm told that police were pretty adamant about that too Wednesday night, saying, look, they got the GPS stuff on and they're going to be watching that closely. And oftentimes, again, I'm not defending, I'm not justifying anything, so don't, no one please hear me the wrong way, but oftentimes these sex offenders just want to go about their business. And like, we'll get these emails from during Halloween time, because all the police departments in all the areas, not just here in Wisconsin, but across the country in many spots, these police departments will go to those sex offenders who live in those areas, those who are registered, and they'll say, hey, reminder, Halloween is going to be this Saturday or whatever. Can't have you out. What's your plan? Where are you going to be? And oftentimes we'll get notes from different departments proactively saying, hey, by the way, we've done the check and there's been no issues and we're going to follow up. But just so you know, we've done the check on the ones that live in, you know, our city or our suburb or whatever. So they can live there, and many can do that safely to the neighborhood, but certainly can understand that in this case, given the amount of time that was given and given the neighborhood where this is close to this park, you can certainly understand why there's some concern at the moment. So a story to follow out of New Berlin. It is 8:20. Wisconsin's Morning News at 8:23. No Vince Vitrano. He's back Monday. Michelle Richards is here along with the rest of the gang. Debbie, Adam, and of course, Greg Pancake Hill.
Yeah, it was a good time at Trivia last night.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so I was going to ask you about this.
Yes.
So Trivia was last night. Cafe Hollander.
In Wauwatosa. Yeah, man, what a great time. Debbie was there. Adam was there. A lot of teammates showed up, so it's a really good show out. And, you know, again, we are fortunate enough to host this event, something kind of new we're doing for the holiday season here at TMJ.
Yeah.
For Capco's Kids to Kids Toy Drive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously Vince was hosting, so Vince got to do what Vince gets to do very well. But I want you to listen kind of closely, Eric. I don't know if he meant something by this.
What we would love is, since there's sort of a friendly competition between shows, if you, once you get into that portal, click on the Wisconsin's Morning News page to make your contribution, that would assist those of us who were good enough to be here with you tonight.
That's right. A little bit of a stand-up, but that's okay, because you'll be at your own event next week, correct?
That's right. Yeah, I'll be at Hounds and Tap on Silver Spring and Menominee Falls, along with Greg Matz.
So what was really cool about this event is, like, it wasn't just like, all right, winner takes all, and they walk away with the prize, and that's it. We had three prizes. First place was a $150 gift card to Cafe Holland.
Yes,
which is awesome. Second place was a $125 gift card to Lowlands Group, which is all the restaurants that you can name of in the area. But the third place, so... The third place was for best name, Jackie Johnson laying down the rules.
And then lastly, we have a prize for us who are a little more on the dumb side, myself included, for best team name. So best team name gets $100 to Lowlands Group in the form of a gift card. So you can still win money, friends, tonight by being funny and making Vince or Greg laugh.
So you got to have a unique name.
Correct, yeah. Okay. So you get to name your own trivia group. So it was great, too, in the middle of these three prizes, we also gave out raffles just for free. Everyone gets a raffle ticket, you draw some prizes. Amongst one of those prizes was a signed placard of Brett Favre. Pretty cool. In the jersey, throwing the football. Looked awesome, right? Okay. So we give that away. And what's interesting about trivia, and I didn't know this. This is kind of a vet move. I'm kind of giving people an inside scoop here. Sometimes, and it's a rule, that you don't have to fill out your trivia name until the very end. So I came across this group, and they were into it. They were like, yeah, we do this all the time.
Clearly, I was
like,
players.
I noticed that you don't have a trivia name. And she was like, oh, yeah, we don't do it to the end. I was like, oh, interesting. So anyway, we give away this placard of Brett Favre, this team wins it without a trivia name. And I was like, oh, okay, what are they going to do? So I'm reading through the trivia names, and the winner of the best trivia name that made Vinny and I laugh the most was, the team name was, this was better than the last picture we got of Brett Favre. Hey, I tell you. Okay. Hey, so that one
worked out. Do not Google that.
That one worked out really well for us.
Well done.
So, yeah. So, again, creativity can win. You don't necessarily need to rack up the biggest score. And there's prizes for everybody. And thanks to everyone who donated to our morning news page. Now, it doesn't stop, right? Like, this goes all the way through December. So, our page is still open. So, just because mine and Vince's trivia night is done and Eric's yours is coming up next week with Greg Matzik, This competition still goes on beyond trivia, so make sure to keep visiting that league and keep helping out your favorite WTMJ show.
So Greg and I are going to be sparring next week for donations.
I was going to say, is there going to be a battle?
That'll be interesting. We call that a conflict of interest, but nah.
Maybe we have our dogs fight, since it's at a Hounds and Tap, right? It's a dog bar. You can bring a dog to the bar.
Maybe you should each have your own team trivia name, and then whoever gets the best trivia name, maybe.
By the way, so you can text now. You don't have to go to trivia. Obviously, we'd love to see you next Wednesday, but you can text. What is it, Capco?
Capco, yes, Cap, sir.
If you text Capco, you can donate to Kids to Kids. I know it's something we've been doing for so long, and it's just awesome what Capco's been doing for decades now. Just texted KAPCO to the WTMJ Talk and text line 855-616-1620. We'll send you that link so you can donate to any show. But I did promise that for those who donate to our program, there'll be a little something in it for you.
There will be.
Maybe a little nugget, a little toy for you, perhaps. I don't know. I shouldn't say toy. I should say gift. Is it more of a gift?
Yeah, because that's less tangible.
Michelle's like, what are you talking about?
Is it like a pencil? It better not be a station pen.
It is not a station pen.
It's way cooler than a station pen.
It's way better than that. We still have to figure out what it is. But
it's
kidding.
Cooler than a pen.
We got a thing. So text CAPCO to 855-616-1620 to the WDTMJ talking text line. Thank you so much to everyone who came out on Wednesday night to Cafe Hollander. Sorry, I missed it. My wife's birthday, so I had to miss that one. I'll be back at the next one at Hounds and Tap with Greg Matzik next Wednesday in Menominee Falls. It's 8:28. Your headlines are next.
I don't know, Eric. Insurance fraud scams are getting a little weird lately.
Explain.
So in Southern California, four people are under arrest. They are accused of insurance fraud because one of them dressed up in a bear costume and destroyed the inside of their vehicles.
Almost immediately, it was clear to the insurance company something wasn't right. A customer claimed a bear had broken into his 2010 Rolls-Royce Ghost at Lake Arrowhead and ripped up the interior, but in surveillance video, it looked like somebody in a bear costume. And the California Department of Insurance says that's exactly what it was. Now, four suspects have been arrested and charged for allegedly using a human dressed in a bear costume and making multiple insurance claims, defrauding the company's over $140,000. Detectives say they even found the bear costume in the suspect's home. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Okay, so Alex says that the interior was ripped up. It was not. You can see, maybe there were other parts of the car, but the part that I saw in the video looked like just a little gentle, scratch mark. Because they had these metal tools that were supposed to simulate claw marks. So they went into the car and started, scratching. But if it was a real bear, you would think that, you could see the whole vehicle shaking around and a little more violence. And
why a bear? If you're going to try to commit insurance fraud, I would love to have been in the room. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there when it was first suggested, when someone said to someone else, well, you might be able to make some money if you put on a bear costume and pretend to attack the inside of the car?
And did they already have the bear costume, or did they go out and buy it after they hatched this brilliant idea?
Yeah, did they look over and say, well, Chuck's got a bear costume. He's popping on quick. Is that what they did? Someone had to say it out loud.
Right.
Someone
had to suggest. Because there are four people involved in this scam. Somebody came up with the idea. And as you pointed out earlier, It would be easier to just drive to like a bear infested park and just leave some steaks in the front seat.
Put some honey in there, roll down the windows, some berries and grubs and whatever, and just let them go to town and then bring it back. And then, it seems like it's interesting.
What people will do.
You gotta get something for the effort, right? We previewed this on Wednesday. U.S. government experts coming together from the Department of Defense, NASA officials, and others testifying before a House Oversight Committee on the reports of unidentified anomalous phenomena. Yes, otherwise known as UFOs. There it is. Okay, thank you. So during this testimony, we heard from Michael Gold, Michelle. Michael Gold's a former NASA Associate Administrator of Space Policy and Partnerships.
I think probably the vast majority of UAP are drones, experimental aircraft, weather conditions, which is again why I say if we review the data, I think we're going to discover a lot about things we weren't even thinking about. But there is a percentage that isn't.
Yeah. There is a percentage that isn't, he said.
But there is a percentage that isn't.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. So what about that percentage? What else aren't we knowing about these UFOs?
Luis Elizondo, who headed a Pentagon program investigating UAPs, now doubling down on his claims.
Has the government conducted secret UAP crash retrieval programs, yes or no?
Yes.
Were they designed to identify and reverse engineer alien craft, yes or no?
Yes.
Elizondo saying the alleged extraterrestrial presence poses a national security threat.
Yes, an extraterrestrial presence, according to this Elizondo guy.
I'm reading a book that he wrote, so.
So I was going to ask you if this was the guy. He's the author. So he's basically saying UAPs are real.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he's like presenting all this evidence. Right. And his book had to be approved by the Pentagon before he
interesting.
Published it. So, yeah.
A little bit more from the man.
Advanced technologies not made by our government or any other government are monitoring sensitive military installations around the globe. Furthermore, the U.S. is in possession of UAP technologies, as are some of our adversaries. I believe we are in the midst of a multi-decade secretive arms race, one funded by misallocated taxpayer dollars.
So, basically, this sounds right out of a movie. So, multiple governments have alien tech that they're trying to harness because they know it'll give them more power and defense mechanisms.
Are they saying alien tech, like, really literally from outer space technology or just technology that we don't have?
Debbie?
Both.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
it's beyond like some of the physics that they say that things are able to do are beyond our understanding of physics right now.
A little bit more from Andrew Dimbert at ABC.
Lawmakers calling for more transparency around UAPs or unidentified anomalous phenomenon. That's the term the government now uses instead of UFO. An intelligence officer last year claimed the Pentagon has been hiding knowledge of alien activity for decades.
Yeah, so this is the committee, too, this joint committee hearing that Glenn Grothman, Fond du Lac congressman, also was one of the co-chairs for. He joined us to discuss that actual moment on this show on Wednesday, basically saying that, look, it's a lot to do with just what's transparent and what isn't.
There are too many unusual things going on that the government admits they're unusual, be they drones, be they spacecraft that responsible people have talked about seeing, and they're saying they can't talk about it.
So, and that's Grothman's point. Some of that stuff he believes needs to be released.
There's no question there are unusual things going on out there. There's no question the U.S. government has not given all the information they could give us.
Now, I should also point out, though, so when the congressman was on with us on Wednesday, Vince did ask him straight up, so like, okay, there's been testimony at these hearings before where guys have said, oh, there's alien tech that's being researched and hidden and it's not being told about. And Grothman's response was,
I'm not sure I believe the person who gave that testimony.
All right. So, you know, there's some belief to this. There's some, I believe the congressman's going to be on Wisconsin's Afternoon News later today to debrief on the hearing from Wednesday. But if the book is that good, Debbie, we should give it a shot, eh?
Yeah. I mean, I heard him first on Mayim Bialik's podcast, and then I was like, oh, I got to get that book. So that's why I'm actually listening to the audiobook of it. So.
What's the name of the book? Do you know off the
top of your head? It's called Imminent.
Imminent, okay. Mm-hmm,
by Luis Elizondo.
And the thought is, as
it's weird. It is weird, but I don't know how else it would get released, you know?
It seems like someone just was watching some Hollywood movies and now we're doing this thing. Well, clearly, Ecuador's government found a piece of equipment that they keep now in a vault, and they are testing it day in and day out.
Actually, it's Brazil.
It's Brazil. Yeah, I knew I was close. So what's Brazil doing with it? Why haven't they changed the world yet?
I don't think they have the equipment, but they have like studies about this one small village that got completely attacked.
But
like blood sucked out of their bodies and all sorts of stuff.
There are just bags of humans there? How does this not make the news?
This is what I'm wondering. I don't know, man. I mean,
are there pictures?
Well, not on the audiobook. See, I got to get the book now.
I firmly, and the congressman told us this yesterday too, I firmly believe that there is life because the universe is too big.
Right. The odds are...
It's infinite.
Overwhelming.
Yes.
Right.
The
right.
odds would indicate there is life. But to suggest that there's like just like pieces of spaceship, like, you got to see that. You got to show that to us.
Yeah. You're right.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
8:51.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Patchy fog and drizzle today, cloudy, a high of 53. Tonight, cloudy, a low of 43 degrees. And for Friday, partly to mostly cloudy, a high of 53. 50s through the weekend as well. Right now it's 51 at 8:55. The forecast sponsored by Daydre Camp Heating. Your comfort is their family's tradition. Michelle Richards here on behalf of Vince. Vince is back on Monday. You knew this was going to happen. We saw this coming a mile away, Michelle. So we have the story out of Green Lake County, right? We have the man who faked his own death, disappeared kayaking on Green Lake in August. Now authorities believe that he's likely in Uzbekistan, which is in Europe in that stretch. Like, they believe he faked his death and ran off, leaving his family, which I still can't even process that. But you knew what was going to happen. You knew that all these internet investigators were going to pop up. And now it's happening. In fact, a TikToker who's fairly popular, I guess, her name is Bailey Boomhauer. She has a video from weeks ago where she is holding a sign that says, "Ask me anything."
And she's in San Diego.
Yes, she's on the West Coast. "Ask me anything." And a guy on a bike shows up and asks her,
"I go to Uzbekistan or stay here?"
Say that one more time.
"Do I go to Uzbekistan or stay here?"
"Do you have family there?"
"No."
"Why do you want to go?"
"To meet a woman."
"To meet a woman. So you've given up on meeting someone here?"
"No, I'm married."
"Oh."
"Yeah."
Yeah, so now all of a sudden the internet is exploding. Well, that's the same guy. Don't think it's the same guy. It looks awfully close, but it sounds like, according to the sheriff's office, who talked to WBAY. No, let's move on from that. But this is something that, unfortunately, is going to be a thing until this case resolves itself. Hopefully it does. You're going to see more and more of this type of thing where someone is going to try to break the case and find someone who looks close and is going to show up on the internet or on TikTok or on some type of social media.
That's a pretty close one, though.
It's
same story, very similar looking guy.
Yeah. Sheriff's office says they believe the person in the video is not the same guy, but they say they are continuing to investigate.
Maybe it's a thing, moving to Uzbekistan for a woman.
The Political Power Hour is next. It's 8:58.